Thank you and amen. Don't you want to give the worship band an amazing clap? You've done so well. Thank you so much. I am so happy that I can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know why? They asked me if I would pray, would preach this morning, and I said yes. And I thought, oh, very nice. The guys are not going to be here, so I have a title, Bobby, It's a Jungle Out There, okay? So I'm like, it's men's camp, that's what I'm going to do. And as I started preparing, you just know, no, it's not going to work. But let me tell you why I'm so thankful. 3 years ago when we just got in Stellenbosch, Ross asked me to preach of the men's camp that weekend, that Sunday, at Shofar Durbanville. And he told me, there are only girls. Don't worry, the guys are all gone. So Lachi decided that morning that she wants to go to church with her dad. So here I am on my very girly sermon in hierdie groot oomie. And he's chuckling all the way. So when I officially met him, he said, I know exactly who you are. You're the girl that preached to the girls, and then I was the only guy in your church. Yes, I remember that. Stephen Lungu is here tonight. For those of you who don't know who he is, please go listen to his short piece of his testimony on Shofar Stellenbosch's Facebook page. I really believe it's going to be very blessed, and you're going to go home tonight if you want to attend the service with so much hope and comfort of who God is. So this morning, we just want to welcome the stream churches. They are part of our congregation. Although we can't see them, we say to them, welcome. We're streaming live to them. And I want to say welcome to you. Who prayed for you this morning and was spot on? Show me. Ah, that's a good feeling, isn't it? Very good. This morning, the title is The Bread Thief. Now, everybody knows, everybody that works at Stellenbosch offices will know exactly where this title came from. Christoffel Joen will kill me if he knows this. He's going to hear it. Christoffel Joen loves bread with jam on. And accidentally, one day, somebody took the wrong sandwich in the fridge. And he sent an email out to everybody in the offices, the whole staff. Subject, my bread is my bread. And the mail went something like, stop stealing my bread. Okay? Please return my bread. This week it was one on cheese again, hey. So, and I thought that's exactly what happens to us. So often we have bread and we're so full of our bread. We're so used to our sandwiches that we actually don't mind somebody else having it or taking it or we misplacing it. So last year we had to buy a new washing machine. We tried to fix our old one, but unrepairable. So we went to Game to buy a new washing machine. And I went like, oh, that one looks like my old one. I know how it works, so let's just buy that one. It's the cheapest in any case. So, yes, we take that one. So when we got home, I realized, shucks, I don't really know how this machine works. It looks the same, but the workings are not the same. So I started searching for the instruction manual, which I normally throw away. I'm one of those people's like, if you want to read the manual, read it yourself. I can figure this out. So I started searching for the instruction manual. And then I realized that that is our lives. We, as people, we are like washing machines. We have an inlet. God gives us input through his word. And we have an outlet, where we have to share it with people. And if we don't read our instruction manual, which is the word of God, we'll get stuck. We will not be sure always how it works. So I just want to share this irrelevant info with you this morning because it was such a revelation to me that we are like washing machines. Holy Spirit is like the water. And the washing power is the Word of God. So this morning, that is my prayer, that you will just experience how Holy Spirit comes and just fills you up and just cleanses you and washes you, and that He will just come, that you will truly drink from the living water this morning. Not because you're in church and not because there's a sermon, but because there's an encounter with Christ. May the Lord really break open this morning something fresh and something new in your spirit. So Jesus, we just want to, as a congregation, come before you and say to you, Lord, we are open. We are open for your word. We submit ourselves completely under the word of God. Will you come, Holy Spirit, and water every dry area in our lives this morning? Every area that is so dry that nothing can grow there anymore. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, that you will come and water those areas, and that the Word of God will come and cleanses us and breaks the yoke and bring healing and bring deliverance, that it would be your manifestation in our lives and in our hearts this morning. Would you come and give us a new heart again this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. I have a little icebreaker for the ladies. Guys, you can help them think, but all girls always have a pen and paper, right? So quickly get out a pen and paper. Just a small piece of paper. Can be an old spa slip, woolly slip, it's fine. Okay, so what you're going to do now is you're going to write me a word, a sentence, an idea of that which you as a woman want to know about, but people don't speak about that, in your opinion. Okay, it can be cake baking, it can be swimming, it can be farming, it can be anything. Anything you would like to know more about. And at every woman's event, you go like, they don't teach us that. They don't tell us those things. Just, even if it's irrelevant, just write it down. So you want to, let me sketch a scenario for you. You're going to awaken next year and you go, oh, that's my subject. That's what I want from you. As something you want to hear that we're not telling you. I'm so happy there's some men in church this morning, because the girls go like, there's nothing. It's like shoes. I don't have shoes anymore. Or I don't have clothes to wear. And then the husband walks to the cup and say, this is another. Oh, yes, I can wear that one. So guys, help the ladies quickly. What is the thing she always tells you and now she forgot about it? Okay, done. Then Nielke and her team would quickly gather those papers. So those papers you sent to the side. Nobody is going to know it's you. Are there any of the guys that also wanted to write down something? You're welcome to. We will not know. Okay, so while they're gathering, I'll quickly tell you what the sermon is going to be about today. In December, we went camping, and normally, Mac and I, we take a few days of fasting, and then we just pray about the year ahead, and this year, we just decided, no, we feel like we've fallen into a tradition of just doing it. We're just going to seek the Lord's face regarding 2015. So I joked with him one evening. I said, Oh, God says he gives it to us in our sleep. Those that he loves, he even gives it to us in our sleep. So I'm going to trust the Lord just to drop something fresh and something new in my spirit. And lo and behold, that evening, I dreamt that Jesus came to me. That this was early 2015, January, very early in January. I dreamt that I'm so aware of a presence in my room. This is all in a dream. And I looked and I realized, oh, this is Jesus. And he walks over to me and he says to me, you have one of two choices. For 2015, you can choose woman at the well or 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I'm like, okay. Even in the dream, I'm like, I'm completely confused here. So I turn to the side, which in the stream, Jesus showed me to be the woman at the well. And I said, I would love to choose her because it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Because it's just so much without judgment. We learn so much of how Jesus operates, how he just couldn't care less about cultures and laws of cultures, where he just speaks to the Samaritan woman, and she's a bit nervous, where she says, I'm not supposed to speak to you. He doesn't even answer her about that. He just carries on, and it ends up, you know the story, where he says to her, where is your husband? And she says, I don't have a husband. And then he speaks truth into her life. And that is what the Word of God always does for us. He says, you're right, because the man you're with is not your husband. And you know the rest of the story. The favorite part of that story to me is that when Jesus said to her, when you drink of the water that I give you, you will never thirst again. And that she experienced a bubbly feeling within her. She experienced the move of the Spirit. So much so that she ran to her village, shared with them what just happened, and they believed her. Now just pause for a moment. Just think of it. She is the girl in your street that has hit on your husband quite a few times. You don't like her. You don't want to invite her over for coffee to share the gospel with her because her motive is not the same as your motive. You get the picture. So here she runs down your street. She tells you, listen to this, I've just met the most amazing guy. You see what I'm saying? And that day, everybody believed her. And she shared the gospel. She brought them to Jesus. How amazing is that? And that is why I love that story. That we cannot, when Jesus is involved, cannot predict the outcome. I love that. But, so in this dream, I'm back at the dream. I said to Jesus in the dream, I cannot choose the woman at the well because the outcome is evangelistic. Now, those of you that had done outreaches door to door with me will know you go, Nordine, I'll talk. Okay? So I know the outcome is going to be too difficult. And if I choose this, I have to go with the evangelistic option. So I turned to the other side and I said, Jesus, I can't choose that because I'm so bad in sharing with people that I don't know. I try hard. You'll see I'm on every outreach because I'm trying to produce fruit in that area of my life. So I turned to the other side and I said, I don't know if this is the safer option, Lord, but I choose the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish. And I just sensed that the Lord said to me the following, in the dream, you have chosen well. Never despise small beginnings. Whatever is in your hand, I can multitude and feed the thousands. And I'm like, okay, I'm awake. I think that following day we went to visit Marius and Tanya Kotze on the farm. And Tanya said to me, what is the word the Lord gave you for 2015? And I went, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And she went, what does it mean? I said, I have no idea. But this one day, I'm going to tell you. And this morning, I'm going to tell you because I've been praying. I've really been seeking the Lord's face to show me. What does it mean, the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish? Let's quickly read it this morning. You can follow, not on the screen. Is the electricity off already? Not yet. Luke 9, verse 10. Jesus slipped quietly away with the disciples to Bethsaida. The crowd found out where he was going and they followed him. He welcomed them and taught them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who were sick. Late in the afternoon, the 12 disciples came to him and said, "Send the crowds away to nearby villages and farms so they can find food and lodging for the night. There is nothing to eat here in this remote place." Just note, there's nothing to eat and it's a remote place. But Jesus said, "You feed them." "But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Or are you expecting us to go and buy enough food for this whole crowd?" Jesus replied, "Tell them to sit down in groups of about 50 each." Now, I have never noticed the detail of the scripture before. And I realized Jesus loves infrastructure. Before we can carry on, they have to be in their group. Okay, so the people all sat down. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread and fish to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. Did you ever notice the detail of it that Jesus never fed the 5,000? It was the disciples. Okay, we'll get that just now. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. So in other words, there were 12 disciples, there was 1 basket left per disciple, okay? And you know what is so amazing? That Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "What have you got?" Because that is what Jesus always does with us. He always turns to us and says, "What have you got?" Did you think like a mother quickly for those who are mommies already? Here I am packing Daniel or Mika's lunchbox for school. It's just a normal lunchbox. It's just my kid is going somewhere, so I'm just going to make sure they can eat. That mother never realized that she's packing the ingredients for a miracle. We don't know what we're packing, you see. It is in our mundane, everyday life that there are ingredients for God to do miracles. But we forget about it. Okay? The ingredient of that miracle is often in our hands. But you know how we as people operate? And you will relate to what I'm going to say now. We say, "Lord, I don't even have finances at this stage. It's going so hard with me. I'm busy going through a divorce. My kids are wild. I'm not sleeping. I suffer rejection. My relationships are not in place." And often we forget that that is also the ingredient we can bring for Jesus to turn our mess ups into the most glorious miracles. Okay, so he comes and he fills us daily. I just want to remind you of that. His word says, daily he will load you up with his benefits. Daily he will carry your burdens. Every morning his mercies are new, every day. But why does it then run out? Because we often come to a place where we say, "I don't experience God's mercies. I don't experience that he loaded me up with his benefits this morning." It runs out because we are so focused on that which we don't have. We don't have peace. We suffer rejection. We're full of bitterness. We're full of unforgiveness. So Holy Spirit comes, God comes, and he fills us up. But our lives, like think of a broken washing machine now. There's one area of the washing machine, it's not working properly, and it just the water goes in, but it just runs out. So it doesn't clean, it can't cleanse anything. Okay, so that is the things that Jesus said to his disciples, the first thing. He said, what have you got? And God is asking us this morning, what have you got? Jesus always asks us, what have you got? He never asks, how much hurt have you got? You know why he doesn't ask it? He knows it. He created us. He's the author and the finisher of our lives. There's nothing that surprises our God. But you know why it doesn't bother him too much? He says, I've come to heal the broken heart and set the captives free. It's part of his character. It's his identity. He cannot leave you the way you are. He wants to come and take your brokenness and heal it. He wants your things you struggle with and heal it. But he's not saying, what have you got that's hurting so much? He says, when you come to me, I can load you up with my benefits. When you come into my presence, there's healing. When you're tired and weary, come to me and I will give you rest. So when you're in God's presence, you will rise up like an eagle. That's the promises in his word. And that's not what he asks, what have you got? He says, what have you got as an ingredient that I can do a miracle to feed the thousands? And you know why it's so quiet in here? Because we think our lives don't count. We cannot discount what God counts. Your life counts. You were a dream in God's heart long before you were born. And then your parents gave birth to God's dream. They raised God's dream. He knew whether it's going to be hard or easy or whatever. But God is still saying, what have you got as an ingredient? What have you got? Okay? And you know what is the amazing thing is the other revelation I had through the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish is that God is not driven by our needs. God, but I really, really want that Porsche. Really, God, the blue one. Because if we say we can have it in Jesus' name, we'll have it. Okay, that was a bit of a joke. Okay, God is not driven by our needs. And you know where I see it? He first said, he turned to his disciples, he said, what have you got? And they knew what they've got. Because they answered him and said, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They knew exactly what they have, but they knew it's not enough. What you have will not be enough, but when you bring it to Jesus, he multiplies it to feed the thousands. The other passage that is so amazing to me, God is not driven by our needs. Picture this. There are 5,000 men in front of him. I'm a woman, and I was offended by the word of God since a very young age that they only counted the men. I got over my offense, but it would have been nice if they counted the women. But just to give you perspective, Mac and I used to live in the Middle East for quite a few years, and they don't count the women. It's just a cultural thing. So they counted the men, and the men were 5,000. You get 5,000 men to sit down. Jesus knows they're hungry, they're thirsty, they've been there the whole day. There's no instant gratification here. First order. Jesus operates from a place of infrastructure. How amazing is that? He says, get them to sit down. And then you divide them in groups of 50. You know how long that takes? Who's very good with maths? More or less. How long would that take? I made the sum. Very, very, very long. You see, Jesus knows where he's going with us. He knows that the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish is enough for him to feed all of them. He doesn't have to prove something now. He doesn't have to. He's saying, let's get order. Sit down. Let's divide them into groups of 50. And you know what? Often we're in that place, but we don't want to wait. Am I right? We go like, they're wasting my time here. I'm off to McDonald's, drive through. Burger King. If the line is not too long, I can do that. Because we don't want to go through the process. We want our needs to be met instantly. Because the process takes too long. We want instant gratification. But God cannot feed us if we're not in our group. It's amazing, eh? There's a group of 50 that day. And if you're in that group, Jesus fed you. Okay, the other thing is that Jesus is asking us this morning, what have you got? The second thing is, he's not driven by what your needs are. He knows you need $1 million to get out of debt. But it's a process. He needs order in your life before you can experience the miracle. And it's not always like that. It's not always like that. And the third thing is, God needs to prepare our hearts for miracles. Okay? God Jesus distributed the bread through his disciples, through the leaders. I learned another lesson in that. But this is the part to me. Everybody's hungry. Everybody's like, can he just hurry up? Can you imagine you one of those 12? And let's role play quickly. I want Jacobet in front. I want Nielke, Kumi, Marionette, Ilza. I just saw they say to each other, I hope she doesn't call us. Cindy, her mom, Lizelle. Marika is not making eye contact. That means leave me alone. Okay. Marika, you made eye contact. Estelle, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I need 2 more. Bring our sissy. Bring our sissy. Elzan, kom. 11. Can I have a 12th disciple? I'll take him. Okay, so can all of you come stand here? Okay, I just want you to visualize this. You need to come close to me. Let's role play. I'm Jesus, okay? And they are my leadership. They are the disciples. Now, in your own character, think quickly, you 12 ladies. I'm not moving as fast as you want me to move. I'm not multiplying the food as quickly as you know these people need food. Your kids might be in this group as well. What are you going to do? Do that now. Walk up to me and do it. You see, thank you. Do you think that didn't happen on that day? It's a natural reaction. Estelle sê, my kind is baie honger. Jy moet gou maak. Mommies sound like that. But Jesus knew where he was going. Now, first he turned to his disciples, that is us. And he says, what have you got? Then he said, okay, you've got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Thank you very much. Can you get the 5,000 to sit down and divide them in groups of 50? Okay, let's do that quickly, then we can eat. Mm-mm. He took the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, looked up to heaven, and gave thanks for it. Jesus always gives thanks to the not enoughs. But we moan about the not enoughs. We come to Jesus and say to him, you can't use me. Jacobette told me when she qualified as a dentist, she had a stress attack. So she went to her professor. I didn't check this with her, but she can sort me out afterwards. She said to him, you made a mistake to make me a dentist. I'm not going to be a good dentist. You've made a mistake. You should have told me not to become a dentist. And he looked at Jacobette and said, Miss Lowe, you are a dentist. And that's what Jesus does. He says, don't come and freak out now on me. Don't tell me you don't have enough. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough courage. I don't have enough, what else? Moses, I can't talk, can't lead your people. The not enoughs does not scare Jesus off. The word of God says, give thanks in all things without murmuring. And that's what Jesus did. He says, oh, we don't have enough, so let's give thanks for the not enoughs. There's a place where God wants us to go and say, Lord, it's going hard. But I thank you that you're busy with the process to bring things in order in my life. I thank you that right now I'm going through suffering, but thank you that you are God, that you are the King of Kings, that you've come to heal my broken heart, that you've come to set the captives free, that you will load me up tomorrow with all your benefits for that day. There's a place where God says, I want you to come, my church, and say thank you for the not enoughs. Okay, he doesn't wait for us to be perfect and good to use the insignificant things in our lives for his significant purposes. He doesn't wait for you to be the perfect Christian. He doesn't wait for the perfect child. I don't wait for my daughter to be perfect before I teach her to bake cake. I teach her in any case. That's God's heart for us. One day there was a snake and a woman. And this woman went for a walk up the Franschhoek Mountain. And it was winter and she saw the snake. And the snake started speaking to her and said to her, would you please pick me up? It's winter. I'm so cold. I can't even go get back home because I'm all frozen. And the woman said to the snake, I know exactly who you are. You're going to bite me and kill me. So, no. He says, no, you don't understand. I just want to feel warmth again. So the conversation went on. The snake convinced the woman. She put the snake in her pocket. And they became really good friends. They had good conversations. And the one day, the snake bit the woman. And she went, but we're friends. Why do you do that? I'm going to die now. And the snake said to her, the day you picked me up, you knew exactly who I was. You know exactly what it is that I do. So when you come to God to give thanks for the not good enoughs, make sure that you're not entertaining the snake that's going to take you out in the end. And if there is a snake in the grass, kill the snake. Okay? If we have messed up in our lives, God wants us to give thanks and turn it to godly show-ups. I'm sure if I have to stop now and ask, who made the most ridiculous decisions that turned to mess-ups, but that you really repented and went back and said, Lord, forgive me, I didn't see this coming, and that God just turns it into testimonies, stories that we can tell other people, our stories of the times in our lives of the not good enoughs. where we can be thankful for. Okay? And after Jesus looked up and gave thanks for the not good enough, for the not enough, not the good enough, for the enoughs, he started doing something. And that's when I realized this. I'm sure that you also thought that he gave thanks and then the bread multiplied. Am I right? Yes. It was in the breaking. He gave thanks for the not enoughs, and it was in the breaking that we lost count of how many loaves of bread and fish there were. Go, oh, you have to go like that. It is so amazing. It is in the breaking of our lives that Jesus comes and multiplies, that we can't keep count of the not enoughs he's busy multiplying. It is in the breaking that miracles take place. How many of you know amazing, godly people that were broken before? It is in the breaking that the miracle happens. It's in the breaking that we stop keeping count of how much there was. Okay? Because our brokenness does not scare God off. You know that 2 Corinthians 1 says, go read it, write it down, go read it. Whatever you go through, God will use later in your life so that when somebody else goes through that, I can encourage her. Okay? Jesus can take everything that is broken and multiply it. I love that. God can take anything that is broken and he can multiply that. That thing that you thought is going to kill you, that thing that you thought, that fear, it's gripping your heart, that is too much for you, that thing that you're so convinced of, that thing is going to drown you. Give that to Christ. Give it to God. I want to share with you a story about, just a one very simple story about breaking it. We used to live in the Middle East. We were missionaries there. And a friend of mine went on a prison outreach. Now, it works like that in the Middle East, and I need to give you a bit of background just to understand the story. If a woman gets raped in the Middle East, she goes to jail because she brought shame on the family. Okay, so there's a lot of women in jail, innocent women. So it's actually it's an easy outreach because you just bring hope to broken women. So this friend of mine went into jail, and while standing there, realized, I'm going to into a prison that the women only speak Arabic. What on earth am I doing here? Afrikaans lady. She realized there's no turning back. She gave up her name. She has to push through. She's standing in the line. The next moment, they fetched her. So she decided she's just going to speak very slowly in English. And even if it has to take 2 or 3 hours to get a very short message across, she's going to be patient and try to do this. So, you know, there's the glass panel, and then there's a hole, and you speak, you can hear each other. So she went to sit in front of this Arabic woman and introduced herself. She said, my name is so-and-so. I am so sorry, but I cannot speak Arabic. Can you speak English? Because I'm from South Africa. And this happens. The woman from the other side said, kan jy Afrikaans praat? It was a nurse from South Africa that got arrested in the Middle East. Her family on this side is looking for her. You see, it's in the breaking that God does the miracles. it's the vine connections. It's the not enough in our lives that it multiplies. And there was a divine connection. God knew this Afrikaans speaking South African lady has a message for the one in jail in the Middle East. Hope led her to Christ in jail in the Middle East. She's back in South Africa for those who are worried. There's no guarantee that it won't hurt. There's no guarantee that it won't, that it will be easy. There's no guarantee, but it's in the breaking that we not counting how many loaves of bread and fish there were. And then the fourth principle is God didn't only feed them not to be hungry. There was overflow. The whole process was overflow. The miracle happens in the breaking, but the power of God was manifested in lives when everybody filled their tummies to the brim. And there was left. When God takes your not enoughs and break it and multiply it, it will be to overflow. That little bit you give is the overflow, the pieces after the miracle. And I believe the principle here is that God wants to say to us, when a miracle happens, church, don't stop there. There's more. Don't just stop there. You know, sometimes we so hang on to, wow, this overflow that nothing happens. Friday morning, Johnny and Alistair Bell phoned us and said, they want to have coffee with us. So we went to have coffee. Or they came to have coffee with us. We met at the Berry Farm and we had a lot of fun because I find those of you who know Delestie Bell, she's very funny. They have 6 kids. They're in Shofar Franschhoek and they are a grandmother and grandfather already. So we had lots of fun. They were missionaries for quite a few years and we were missionaries for quite a few years. So we shared stories. But then she shared this amazing story to me. She said, her son won a business reward, and he had to go to Joburg just now. And apparently, there was a businesswoman that also won a reward, and she wrote a book. But at this reward evening, she shared with the people. She shared, she and her husband went to climb the Kilimanjaro together with a group. And when they got to the top, he really, really got sick. Because there was not enough oxygen. So instead of lingering there, they had to turn around and come straight back home. And she said, as they're going down the mountain, she heard that God spoke to her, never stay too long at the top. Never stay too long at the miracle. It's a time to move on. Because that is the purpose of the multiplication. Not what you've experienced. That which comes after that. Straight after that, if you go read in Matthew, Jesus sent the disciples straight away. This, whatever happened here, multiplication, wow moment, he said to the disciples, pick up 12 baskets, there's one for each of you, and take it and go to the boat. You have to go now. And Jesus went away. But you see, sometimes we so stop at the miracle, that the miracle becomes the most important thing of our lives. And the reason Jesus sent them away is Jesus wanted to see if they got the point of what he has done. Have they seen his identity, his character? Do they know who Jesus is now? And where they've Jesus sent the disciples after that is straight into the storm, where Jesus walked on the water. Okay, so there's a bridge between the miracle and the storm. Why is that? Why is there a bridge? Because it is in the storm that we remember God's faithfulness. that we remember that He is the God that keeps His word. He is the God that takes our not enoughs. Give thanks for that. Multiply, break it and multiply it. And then we're ready for the storm. But if you're not ready for the storm, keep on picking up the broken pieces of your lives. You know what Jesus does with broken pieces? He builds the most beautiful mosaic with it. That's what we know as a testimony. And the next point is, bring what you have. Sometimes we really have nothing. If I look at the woman who suffered with the issue of blood, what did she have? Sickness. She had nothing. She was sick. She was bleeding for 12 years. And she touched Jesus' robe and she was healed. Now, I just want to sketch you the in-between. You know why I think she was so instantly healed? Because it wasn't about the miracle for her. You know what? I think she went with a tin plate and a tin cup. And in the spiritual atmosphere, she was beating it against each other. And you know that gong gong sound that it makes? I wanted to say we can do it on the drums. And I think what Jesus heard in the spirit was, Jesus, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for you, Jesus. I'm empty. Will you come fill my cup? It was that. It was a hungry woman. She said, if I only can touch him, if I only can touch him, if I only can be in his presence, that he loads me up with his benefits, that he heals my broken heart, that he sets the captives free, that he comes and in the breaking, the miracle happens. You see, when we have a heart after God, God sees in his word, he sees the heart. He sees the heart. He doesn't judge on what he sees there. He sees the heart. He saw the heart of the woman who suffered with the issue of blood. Joseph was exactly the same. Figure this. 12 kids. Many kids. And he was quite arrogant and he was cheeky. And his brothers wanted to get rid of him because he was so arrogant and cheeky. Now, I always say to the teenagers, you see what happens to you when you're arrogant and cheeky? Somebody will throw you in a pit. Okay? And that is what happened to Joseph. And he had to go through all the not enoughs in his life. People accused him of things that he wasn't even guilty of. But when he got to jail, there's no murmuring, there's no arrogance. He's not telling everybody in jail that my pathetic brothers, I will not be able to forgive them. Nobody can forgive their brothers what they've done to me. We don't read it. You know, there's a saying that you just forget and forgive. That is so ungodly. It is in the remembering that we forgive. It's not in the forgetting. It is remembering the pain, remembering that deep hurt that we choose over and over and over to forgive. And I somehow want to believe that is what Joseph experienced. So he didn't have the need to share with everybody in jail how pathetic his brothers are because it was in the remembering over the years that he forgave. He gave thanks to God. And in that, the breaking, that is where Joseph stopped counting. Because then people started sharing their dreams. He started giving prophetic words. He was the wise guy because God is the author and the finisher of your life. God knew for Moses to be in a jail, he's going to sit on a throne. Don't get stuck in the not enoughs. After the miracle of feeding the 5,000, Jesus went away. And that's the piece where he walks on the water, okay? Okay, so Jesus is on the mountain. He sent the disciples on the lake. right? So when the storm came up, the disciples were on the boat. And the Bible said it was dark. And there was a gap between them and Jesus. Go read it. That's exactly where we find ourselves many times. It's dark in our lives, and we feel there's a gap between us and Jesus in a dark place. But you know what? The disciples were not in the storm alone. Jesus, unlike breaking the bread, didn't have to go hire a boat to get to them. Jesus walks on the very things that you think will drown you. He walks on the broken pieces and heals it. He walks on those fear and rescues you. Go read it. He nearly passed the boat because it is in the invitation that Jesus gets in the boat. He doesn't come running over all your hurts and all your pains and say, "Oh, here I am. I've just jumped into your boat." No. The disciples thought, "He's a ghost." They didn't know who he was. Now you tell me. If you spend so much time with somebody, how is it that you don't recognize him? How is it that you don't know his identity, his character? You see what I'm saying? Sometimes we allow the snake in our pocket to cause so much darkness and gaps between us and Jesus that we're not sure whether it's Jesus or not anymore. The Word of God says in James, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It's not in some areas. It's in all areas. So invite Jesus into your boat, because once he was in the boat, he calmed the sea. I really want to share you the story. Mac and I used to live in the Middle East. I've mentioned to you that before. And there was a very dark night in Egypt. We, at that time, lived in Egypt, and we had to go minister in a village quite far away. So it was completely dark the night already, and we were traveling back by train. 12 o'clock in the middle of the night, the train stops. Everybody has to get off. Everybody. And so we had no place to go, no place to sleep, and we don't know where we were. And I think that's how the disciples felt that night in the boat. It's very dark. It's a huge storm. Max speaks Arabic like a dog. He understands it, but he can't speak back. Okay, so he can't have a conversation with somebody asking them, "Where are we? We are on our way to Mardi." That was the area we stayed in Egypt. And a youngster came running, spoke to us in English and said, "There's a taxi rank. The taxi will take you. But I have to run because my family wants to leave now, so I can't help you." So we're like, "Okay, that's cool." We just get into the taxi. And we telling the taxi driver where he needs to take us. He doesn't understand English. We cannot communicate with him. So we're like, we don't know what to do. It's better driving all night in a taxi than standing outside not knowing where you are. And then the next moment, an Egyptian guy with a white shirt, white trousers, white shoes, long black beard, curly black hair, got in the taxi, spoke a few words to the taxi driver, and here we started driving. And Mac and I are just praying under our breath. And I think we were too young to stress. I think we were too stupid and too young. We just like, "Oh, we have each other. We just got married." I think we were married for about 6 months. We have each other. We don't need anything else in life. And like, I'm hooked in with him, and we're just praying. At one point, I thought, if my dad knows about this, I think I'll get another hiding. But in any case. The next moment, this guy, we sat on the couch of the taxi, Mac, myself, and then this guy with the white clothes. And he went, conversation with the taxi driver, and he turned to us, he said, "Here is your flat, this is your address." And we're like, Oh, it's so amazing. You know where we live. Oh, thank you so much. He got then out of the taxi as well. And we started walking up the stairs. And Mac and I, in a moment, just looked at each other. How did he know that? How did this happen? Turned around. There was nobody. You see, Jesus walks on water today as well. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He never changes. His identity never changes. His character never changes. He is always the same. There is no end to his multiplication. There's no end. So I just want to ask you to close your eyes. And whatever you know you have, to bring that to him. Because Jesus turns nothings into somethings. He turns nobodies into somebody's. I just want everybody's eyes to be closed. Jesus makes whole what is broken. He gives enough that which seems to us as the not in us. He is still the God that takes the impossible and creates it into the impossible. He's the God that walks on water when you feel you are drowning. He's the God that heals you when you come hungry after him. He's the God that rescues you from jail and still get you where he wants you to be. He's the God that doesn't want to inform you. He wants to transform you. So I just want to ask you this morning, if you've just sensed Holy Spirit is calling you to bring your not enoughs to him this morning, the breaking part of your lives, the areas that you need to invite him into your boat that he can calm the sea. I want you to just take a moment and give those things to Jesus. And if you know you have things in your life today that you know, it's still in the breaking and in the broken pieces that other people need to pick up. I want to ask you to come to the front because this morning we're going to pray with you. We're going to give thanks with you. We're going to ask God to multiply the hurtful, the painful things, the not enough things in your lives, that he will turn it into miracles. So if you have things in your life that you say to me today, Shah Nadine, I sit with the not enoughs, I want you to come forward.